Everyone's journey with sight loss is unique and comes with different challenges. Sometimes it can be a bit much. Now, Kelly Albers, a busy wife and mum, but 4 years ago, she was diagnosed with Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy, and it hasn't been all plain sailing since then. You've been on a bit of a roller coaster, haven't you, Kelly?
I have. I guess the start of the roller coaster was when I got into my car 4 years ago and realised that I couldn't see very well. And up until then, I had 20/20 vision. My husband wore glasses. I never had to. And I realised immediately that I couldn't see. So I got out of the car, arranged for my children to be picked up from school from somebody else. And I went to my husband's optician and he sent me to A&E. A&E looked at the back of my eye and said that I needed to be admitted into hospital because he saw something on my optic nerve that wasn't right. And my husband was actually away at that time with work, and I discharged myself from hospital. And it all got really quite serious from there because the hospital called my husband while he was away. And my husband then called me and told me that I needed to go to hospital, which I did. And it went from there. And that year, I spent 53 days in hospital having lots of tests. And that was the first year of it. And they really, it was neurological, obviously, because they could see something in the back of my eye, which obviously my optic nerve. And it went from there. So it took them 3 years to actually diagnose what I had, which was actually very frustrating because everybody in my network of friends, schools, just didn't understand and thought that I was making it up because I looked perfectly normal. I looked like I could see. And that was the difficult thing for me, to be perfectly honest, and difficult for my family because they obviously knew that I couldn't see very well and it was obviously deteriorating. And on year three, they gave me the diagnosis because they did a wonderful blood test that doesn't get given to lots of people, to actually identify that it was Leber's. And I remember my neurologist saying to me, "Wow, you just look so serene and you don't look shocked." And he'd got me a cup of tea and thought that I was going to be shocked because it's a chronic condition, it's not curable. But actually, it was just such a relief to actually know that there was a reason for it.
I mean, did you find that you were having to justify things to your friends because you don't seem to be blind enough for them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Completely. So, no, they didn't believe me. And that's just so ridiculous, isn't it? And I was using a simple cane initially, and then I used a long cane. And now I have my wonderful guide dog, Spring. And I don't understand it, but because I have Spring, my guide dog, who's beautiful and obviously very, very helpful and my very loyal friend, everybody seems to accept it more.
It's a visible sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet you would have thought a white cane would be.
I would have thought so.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes we worry. I know exactly what you're going through, but I think sometimes we worry a little bit too much about what people think, because there's this dichotomy of either you're blind or you're not blind. So people think, even sometimes if you've got a guide dog, why have you got a guide dog? You can obviously see. And quite frankly, I like to tell people to mind their own business, but I don't. But I know exactly what you mean. And did you feel that it kind of distanced you from some of your friends then?
Absolutely. So what has happened, I have an uncle in New Zealand, and he always told me that you can count your five good friends on your hand. And I really understood that from losing my sight. And so many people just didn't know how to deal with it, because I used to be on the school's, you know, committee and fundraising, doing all sorts of things, and now I can't. And it's almost like I've been just dropped.
Is it a case that you can't, or is it a case that they don't think you can?
I think it's a case that they don't think I can.
So I think...
And they feel sorry for me.
Yeah, and I think what we want is perhaps a bit of empathy, but not sympathy.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
And I think I've found, talking to quite a lot of people, that... people sometimes, almost when you get this obvious thing that you can't see, you're then landed with, well, you can't do this. Well, obviously you couldn't do that. No, you can't do this. Instead of giving you the chance to say, I tell you what, I am going to do this. I'll find a way to do it. And could you help me do this?
Exactly. And also, the other question that lots of people say to me is, what actually can you see? And they're just puzzled over it. Because they don't understand that I can get around. I think that sometimes people think that you're blind and you can't see at all. But that's not the case, because most people that are registered blind do have vision. And we deal with it, and we can use it. And I find that very frustrating, that people don't... I sometimes have used the word ignorance, but it's not. It's just not understanding.
Well, it is, whatever word you use. It's lack of awareness, it's ignorance. I mean, most people haven't had any dealings with somebody with sight loss. So, you know, when we live in that world, you tend to think, why do people not understand? But most people don't have a clue. Just like I don't know the challenges of what it's like to not be able to walk. I can think about some of the things. So you see somebody in a wheelchair, perhaps, who's coming in a wheelchair, and then perhaps they get up to move about in a small area. And somebody says, I thought you couldn't walk. And it could be they can't walk more than 20 yards. But it's different perceptions of it. And I think in this world... you and I and everybody else in this VI community, we just have to sort of, I don't know, get thick skin a little bit and just show people what we can do.
Yes, yeah, because I can do a lot.
Well, how has your life actually changed in practical terms then?
So I used to go out running. I can't run anymore because, I'd end up falling over. I used to do yoga. That's tricky for me because I can't balance so well because I haven't got any central sight. I used to horse ride a lot. And a very dear friend of mine has actually got me into riding for the disabled, so I've been able to go back to that. A big thing is not being able to read my children's homework and read with them, because I can't read. But I've adapted that, and I'm lucky to have a husband.
Do you know, I just listening to you, Kelly, I feel as if you are really struggling with this in yourself. You're still coming to terms with the sight loss, and the things that you said there, I can't run, I can't do this. Now, for all these things, there are blind people that do that, that they've had to find a way to do it. And I think you need to watch, you just don't get, I can't do this anymore, I can't do that, because there are blind runners, there are people who horse ride blind. You just need to find somebody who's prepared to give you a go at it and say, look, I'd like to try this out. Would you be able to, you know, I'd like to do some riding or whatever. Find a local club or a running club, because you need to get a guide runner. But these things are possible, and you can get that joy back again.
Yes. Yeah, but it's only 4 years on.
Yeah.
And I think it probably takes a long time.
Oh, I think so. And I think we have to bite off reasonable chunks of things. I think when we first get diagnosed, you've got this whole thing where you think people don't believe you. And believe me, I've been through that as well. I mean, what's the phrase I hate? Is if I see something, so people go, I thought you couldn't see. And I've given up on that one. I just ignore it now because it's a concept of a lot of my eye I can't see with, but certain bits I can see. And, you know, those bits see things. So instead of people rejoicing and thinking, well, that's wild, that's great that you managed to pick that up, it's always people want to catch you out.
That's true. Yeah. Definitely true.
So I think you've got to get this. You're great. You've got the support there of your husband, and I'm sensing the whole thing that with your kids there, you're feeling that you're not fulfilling as a mum in certain roles. But I think that's probably more the way you feel. They don't feel that way.
No, I don't think they do.
You're always going to be a mum.
And actually, when I was diagnosed, my son, which he was only 8 at the time, he completely changed his language. He didn't look at a picture that he'd drawn and say, look at this. He'd say, I've drawn this picture and this is what it is. And he'd describe it.
How sweet is that?
It is.
Yeah, it's very sweet. No, I think you have to pick friends that are going to be your support because, as we all know, like your uncle said, good friends are probably few and far between. You've got acquaintances and people that you view as friends, but very good friends. And you don't need many of them, really. What kind of support have you had?
Lots, actually. I was very lucky that my dad flew over from New Zealand when it started to happen. And he was here because my husband was working and obviously having to continue that because obviously you need to have an income. And my dad flew over from New Zealand and got involved with everything. Once with council and the sensory team were just amazing. And Blind Aid have been amazing. And obviously the NHS, I initially went because it had to be urgent through the private medical insurance that we had. And then was flicked over quite quickly to NHS, and my neurologist is so supportive. He said to me, you've got two choices. Give up, roll up in bed, feel sorry for yourself, or soldier on. And I did definitely take the soldier on mode. I think that's what everybody needs to think about, really, because you can feel very sorry for yourself. And I've spoken to so many people that have lost their sight and they do feel very sorry for themselves, but you can't do anything about it.
No, it is what it is. So it's either you make the best of what it is and don't let people pigeonhole you. I mean, obviously there's some things you're not going to be able to do realistically, the things that you probably wouldn't be interested in doing anyway. But, you know, I know blind aviators, obviously they don't fly passenger planes, but they still indulge, they fly microlights. The technology is there now to do that.
Yeah.
So there's people who can do that. Blind Dave Healy is a regular friend of RNIB Connect Radio. He's amazing. He does running to extreme with a team. He's got guide runners. So it's one step at a time, finding people, you know, maybe a local club or something like that. And you never know, if you get one thing kind of sorted, sometimes that leads to something else.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I know people that do some amazing things that I know sighted people won't do, but the thing that surprised me is some of them, it's taken them up to 10 years to come to terms. One gentleman, 20 years, he said he felt sorry for himself until he finally managed to get his head around it. So we're all different.
Yes, exactly.
I think you should pick one of the things that you really want to do, maybe a bit of horse riding or running or something, one of your hobbies. We even have blind photographers. So, you know, it would really surprise you. You know, if you listen to RNIB Connect Radio, it would surprise you the what people do. I was speaking recently, she's a blind sculptor. So, you know, what people make you think that you can't do anything and it's like, oh, poor blind person. It's probably up to you to turn that around in some way. Can you do that?
Yeah,
Yeah, I think you can too. Kelly Albert, I know times are tough for you just now, and it's a constant adjustment, but I'd love to catch up with you in a few months, hear how you're getting on, and perhaps hear about a new hobby. Yeah.